The book of Joshua is about Israel's conquering, entering, and claiming the promised land. And there are many great historical events in Joshua and many lessons that we can learn from them. There's the story of Rahab the harlot, the parting of the Jordan River, the walls of Jericho falling down, the lesson of Achan's sin, the deception of the Gibeonites, the time when Joshua commanded the sun to stand still, and Caleb's request to give me this mountain, and Joshua's final message of choose you this day whom you will serve, and as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Joshua is the sixth book in the Old Testament and the first of the 12 historical books in the Old Testament. And also it's the first book of the Bible that is named after a person. And it is known as a bridge book because it's a bridge between the 40 years of them being in the desert to them entering in to the land of milk and honey, or known as the glorious land, the land that was promised to Abraham 500 years earlier when the Lord said in Genesis 12:7, and to your seed I will give this land. Now in Joshua, we learn how to defeat our enemies and live a victorious Christian life. And we learn how to claim our riches in Christ. Do you know that God has given us spiritual riches? He has blessed us, it says in Ephesians, with all spiritual blessings. And sometimes we don't really know what those blessings are, but we have them and we can learn how to appropriate those in our lives. I know when my son was young and he was playing soccer, the weather would change drastically all the time during these soccer games. And I remember being in Hemet and it started snowing. It's windy, it's cold. And so my mom got me this really nice ski jacket to wear. And I always thought, oh, I wish it had a hood on it because I needed a hood some days. Well, one day I was looking at the jacket and I realized there was a little zipper in the back of the collar and there was a hood. And so I didn't even know I had it. So that's how some of us are. We don't really know all that we have in Christ. But in Joshua, we're going to learn how to appropriate the things that God has given us. When Moses was preparing to die, he asked God to give the nation a new leader. And the Lord chose Joshua. In Numbers 27:15, it says that Moses spoke unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, take you Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand upon him. And Moses also reassured the people in his final message that God was going to use Joshua to defeat their enemies and to help them claim their promised inheritance. Moses also encouraged Joshua to trust God and to not be afraid. And he prayed for him in Deuteronomy 34:9. It says, and Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hand upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. Now Joshua, at this time, is now 80 years old. And by today's standards, he would be well into his retirement years. But he continued to serve the Lord until his death at 110 years. Joshua was a man of faith, courage, and action. He was a great soldier and a military leader. And in all that he did, he always gave the Lord the glory. And a good example of that is in Joshua 4:23, where he says, "For the Lord dried up the waters of the Jordan before you." For 40 years, Joshua had faithfully served alongside Moses as his minister. He played second fiddle. For 40 years, he faithfully served Moses. And that's a hard position to be in. But Joshua was faithful, and he continued to help and to serve alongside Moses. And Moses was the greatest spiritual leader that Israel ever had. After Moses died, Joshua must have felt lost. He had looked up to Moses, and he had relied upon him. And it's always devastating when a national leader dies. Now, when I was little, I remember waking up before my mom and turning on the TV and seeing that John F. Kennedy had been assassinated. And I remember I just started crying. I was so upset. You know, it really hit me as a little girl that our president had been assassinated. But Moses was dead, but God's purpose was still alive. The great craftsman always has another tool sharpened and ready for use. For 40 years, Joshua and all Israel had depended on Moses. Warren Worsby says, "Leaders don't lead forever. And even godly leaders like Moses, there comes a time in every ministry when God calls for a new beginning with a new generation and a new leadership." Now that was what was happening here. It was a new beginning, a new generation. Moses, who they had relied on for 40 years, was now in heaven, and Joshua was being raised up to take over the leadership. It was a big change. Now, how do you react to change in your life, your family, or in the church? Do you try to hold on to the past and try to keep things the same? Ladies, life goes on and it changes, and we need to accept it, right? Because we can't avoid change. Life changes. Children grow up. Parents die. Circumstances change. And government changes. There's all kinds of changes in life, right? And we need to have the Lord's help to react to those changes that come into our lives and not try to hold on to the past and keep things the way that they were, but to move forward and to trust God. We just need to let the Lord have his way. So when Joshua stepped into Moses' sandals, he realized how big they really were, and he must have felt like a midget taking the place of a giant. But God had prepared him. So let's look at how God prepared Joshua. If you haven't turned to Joshua chapter 1, we're going to be looking there. Joshua chapter 1, we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, 'Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel.'" So again, it says at the end of verse 1 that Joshua was Moses' minister. He was first a servant before he was a leader. Jesus said in Matthew 25:21, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things." Because Joshua was faithful in the little things, God raised him up to greater things. Now first, Joshua was a slave. He was raised in slavery in Egypt, and he was in Egypt for 40 years with the children of Israel. And then he saw God's wonders in Egypt, the plagues, the parting of the Red Sea, and he learned that God was a God of power and could take care of his people. Secondly, Joshua was a servant. He spent 40 years in the wilderness with Moses, where he was Moses' official servant. And he went with Moses up on Mount Sinai to receive the law, and he came down with Moses when the people were worshiping the golden calf. And he learned about God's glory, his holiness, and his power. And thirdly, Joshua was a worshiper. In Exodus 33:11 says, "The Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not from the tabernacle." So even as a young man, Joshua wanted to hang out by the tabernacle. He tarried there. He wanted to be in God's presence. So he was not only a warrior, but he was a worshiper. And fourthly, Joshua was a soldier. He led the Israelites in the battle against the Amalekites, and he learned that the real power was not in the sword, but in God, as they held up Moses' arms as he prayed. And he learned great courage and to trust God in victory. And fifthly, he was a spy. Remember, Joshua and Caleb were the only two of the 12 spies that trusted God at Kadesh Barnea to enter the promised land. They said, "We can do it. The people are like grasshoppers to us. We can make it. We can go in." But the people said they were afraid. There were giants in the land, and the cities were walled. And so the whole group, the Lord did not let them go in because of their unbelief. And this must have brought such disappointment to Joshua. He had faith to go in. He was ready. But he had to learn not only how to win victories, but how to accept defeat. Now think of the ways God has prepared you to serve him and be in the place that you are today. Myself, learning to be a servant, when I was a young Christian, I worked in a nursing home as a nurse's aide, and I learned how to be a servant there. I learned a lot of things about life. I also used to clean houses, and I worked in a restaurant washing dishes. So all these things, I felt like the Lord was preparing me and teaching me how to serve others. And then I got to go to the very first Bible college up in Twin Peaks, and that was a blessing. There was only 40 of us, but it was such a blessing to be in the Word every day and be with other Christians. And who can tell what God is preparing us for? Even Jesus had 30 years of preparation for only 3 years of ministry. So always know that God has his hand on you, and whatever you're going through, whatever you're learning, he's preparing you for what he has in the future. Now let's read verses 2-7. "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise and go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun shall be your border. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." So we see here that God, the Lord, commissioned Joshua with three tasks. The first task was to lead the people into the land, and we see that in verses 3 and 4. The second was to defeat the enemy in verse 5, and the third was to claim the inheritance in verse 6. And God gave him three special promises for each of these tasks. The first promise that he had given them the land was in verses 3 and 4, and then the promise of victory, that no man would be able to stand against you in verse 5, and then the promise that the inheritance was sworn to their fathers in verse 6. So the first promise to lead the people into the land, we see that fulfilled in Joshua chapters 2 through 5. The second promise fulfilled to defeat your enemies, we will see in chapters 6 through 12. And the third promise is fulfilled, claiming their inheritance in verses 13 to 22. And notice that God gave Joshua promises, not explanations. He had to step out by faith. Now, first steps are always hard. My little grandson, who just turned one, is just started learning to walk. And of course, you know, they take a couple steps and they fall and everybody's clapping, you know, and then they take five, oh, and then they take eight, you know, and then pretty soon they're walking all around the house and running and getting into everything. But the first steps are always hard. The first steps of forgiveness, to say I'm sorry to someone, are always hard, right? The first steps in witnessing to someone. We're afraid, we don't want to say anything, we know we want to say something. Finally, we get the words out, and then things begin to flow, and the Lord opens doors. But those first steps are always hard. The first steps in writing, maybe you're writing a book, just starting to write the book, that's hard. But that's what Joshua was going to have to do. He was going to have to lean on God's promises, not his explanations, and begin to step out. In verse 5, the Lord encourages Joshua by telling him, "I will be with you," that his presence was going to be with him. "And then I will not fail you or forsake you." He was going to be his help. Just as Jesus has promised us, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world, and that I will never leave you or forsake you. What a blessing that is for us to know. The Lord is always with us. He's never going to leave us, and he's never going to forsake us. Now, Joshua was familiar with the Canaanites because he'd gone into the land, remember, with Caleb as one of the 12 spies 38 years earlier. And he knew they were a vigorous people, and he knew they were giants. He knew that they had strong fortified cities with walls, and that they were in top physical condition, and that most of the land was mountainous and dangerous and difficult. And Joshua must have been conscious of his inadequacy, his weakness, and his fear, and just being overwhelmed. Because God told him three times in this chapter, "Be strong and of good courage," in verse 6. "Be strong and very courageous," verse 7. "And be strong and of good courage," verse 9. And he adds, "And don't be afraid and don't be dismayed. Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And he is with us wherever we go." And he gives power to the weak, and to those that have no might, he strengthens them. Let's read verse 8. "And this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. So we see that Joshua's strength would come from feeding on the word, believing its promises, and obeying it. He was to observe to do all that is said and not to turn from it. And it says he was to read the book of the law. So what book of the law did Joshua have? He actually had Genesis through Deuteronomy, because Moses wrote those books. In Deuteronomy 31:24 is a reference. It says, it came to pass when Moses had finished writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished. So Joshua had Genesis through Deuteronomy to read. If Joshua wanted to be prosperous and have good success in conquering the Canaanites, he needed to not let God's word depart from his mouth. He was to talk about God's word, and he was to meditate on it day and night. He was to think about God's word, and he was to obey its commands. He was to live by it. It's not enough just to have God's word, but we, as Joshua, need to take time to read it daily, day and night, and to make it a part of our hearts and our lives. To meditate means to chew, to swallow, to digest, so that God's word becomes a part of our thoughts and our actions. Now, Joshua was a very busy man, and he had great responsibilities, but God commanded him to stay in the word. And we need to take time to read the word, even if it's a little bit here and there. Now, God's word keeps us focused on the right things. It refreshes and renews us. It directs and guides us. It rebukes and changes us. And it equips and strengthens us. All those wonderful things. And in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Spurgeon said, a Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who is not. So, and the command here to meditate on God's word also has a reward. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and you shall have good success. Now, success here is not talking about material success, but to prosper in the task that God had called him to. Let's read verse 9. I have not I commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In the future, when Joshua faced the enemy and when he was dismayed or afraid, he could be encouraged by God's promises to him, and he could be encouraged by God's commission to him. In Joshua, we learn that God's purposes do not change. People change. All those 20 years and older died in the desert along with Moses. A new generation was going to enter the promised land, and Joshua replaced Moses. But God does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as he was with Moses, so he will be with Joshua. And he will be with us in all that we face in life. As the Lord promised Joshua, the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And what a blessing that is for us to rest in that and know that the Lord is with us. He's going to give us strength. He's going to give us courage. He's going to help us that whatever we face in life, we can know that he's with us and he's going to help us, and we need not be afraid. And whatever the Lord calls us to do, he's going to give us the strength to do it. So let's pray.